Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
The process of growth in the Christian life is an organic process. It's to be produced by the Holy Spirit. If you're longing for fruit flowing from your life, join us next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chapel, as we discover that fruit grows where the stream flows. Stay with us. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. It's a joy to come to you every Monday through Friday, and wherever this program or podcast finds you, we sure hope that you have come with an open heart, that you're ready to examine the Word of God with us and grow in His grace. Today, we're going to listen to a series entitled Fruit Grows Where the Stream Flows. We're going to study the wonderful fruit of the Spirit, the process of growth in the Christian life that's organic. It comes from within. It comes from a process of yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Friend, if you've trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit wants to produce this fruit within you. If you haven't trusted Christ, then friend, we hope that because of today's program, you'll come to faith in Him and allow His Holy Spirit to begin that work in you. Don't forget, we would love to have you visit with us online and find out more about our ministry at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find out about this current series. You can subscribe to the podcast for Daily in the Word and take this program with you and listen to it at your convenience on your computer or iPod. You can also subscribe to the daily devotional email, Rooted in Christ. Every day to your email box will come a daily devotional from Dr. Chapel, along with an Old Testament, a New Testament, and a Proverbs scripture reading that will take you through the Word of God in 1 year. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. But right now we're opening our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26, as we introduce this series with this message, Fruit Grows Where the Stream Flows. Here's Paul Chapel.
Now let's read Ephesians 1, verses 12 and 13 together, okay? Ready? Begin. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. Now let's follow the sequence. The Bible's a very logical and sequential book. And here we see that first they heard the word of truth. The Bible tells us they heard the word of truth. And it says in the first part of verse 13 that they trusted in Jesus Christ. So when a man hears the word of God, he can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And after he trusted in Christ, notice verse 13, you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So let's follow the sequence one more time. Verse 12, who first trusted in Christ. How does someone know for sure their sins are forgiven and that they're on their way to heaven? By simply believing that Jesus Christ died and rose again for their sin. They trusted in Jesus Christ. My friend, the Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus Christ. U.S. News and World Report recently quoted Pope John Paul speaking at the Vatican saying, and I quote, the Roman Catholic Church is the only instrument of salvation for all humanity. Think of that. The Roman Catholic Church is the only instrument of salvation for all humanity. Now, my friend, this morning, the Bible does not say in verse 12, who first trusted in the Roman Catholic Church. It does not say who first trusted in the Baptist Church. It says who first trusted in Christ. The only way to be saved, to know that your sins are forgiven, is to trust in Jesus Christ. Someone says that every time I come here, you're just putting down another religion. No, no, I'm just lifting up Christ. And you see, the fact of the matter is that He is the way, the truth, and the life. So first, someone accepts Christ. Now watch this. When someone asks Jesus into their heart and life, at that very moment, the Spirit of God is bringing that change about. And when someone trusts Christ as Savior, the Spirit of God seals that decision. So that no way, not at any time, can that person ever lose the wonderful presence of God in their life. Now that's what it means in verse 13. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, when I lived in Korea there with our family as we were missionaries in Korea years ago, I noticed something different about the way they took care of business transactions. Sometimes the missionaries would buy a car or a piece of property, or they would lease a building to start a church. And in the Orient, you did not take out a pen and sign your signature to it. In the Orient, the people doing business would get what they call, I believe in the Korean language, a dojang, or a seal. And it was a carving sometimes with Chinese characters on the bottom. And they would dip it into red ink. And then they would seal their business transaction with their official seal. In ancient Oriental culture, many times, the king or the monarch would have a signet in his ring. And that signet would be dipped into wax. And then it would be pressed onto a document. Or they would pour some wax onto a document right over the fold area. And then he would put his seal into that document, which meant it's not to be opened by anyone except the one who put his seal on it. Now, in this verse, what God is simply saying is that when you accept Jesus as your Savior, not a monarch, not a king, not a businessman, but God the Holy Spirit seals your soul and spirit so that you belong to God and no one can pluck you out of the hand of God. And verse 14 says you are sealed until the day of redemption. And that means the day when you see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Someone says, I presume by this that you believe in once saved, always saved. That's exactly what we believe in. We believe that God is able to keep us to the uttermost. And we thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit who comes into our life when we are saved and who seals us as belonging unto God. Now, if you do not know that you are saved, if you do not realize the Spirit of God is living in you, then what I'm going to preach on for the next 10 or so weeks is not going to make much sense to you simply because of the fact that you do not know the Holy Spirit. So how can He flow through your life as a stream? How can He produce fruit from that stream unless you know that you are saved, unless you know that the Holy Spirit is in your life? You must first receive the gift of salvation, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Notice secondly, though, this morning, after someone receives that gift, there must be growth in the Holy Spirit. There must be growth in the Holy Spirit. There is a seed that is sown at salvation that God wants to grow. He wants it watered. He wants it fertilized. He wants you to grow. Now, I say this with all due respect. There are many people in this room who have been born, but as I said last week, some of you are still in the nursery spiritually. Some of you are still in kindergarten spiritually. And during this season of time, you ought to say, Lord, help me to grow in your spirit. Help me to get out of the first grade and become a second grader now. Help me to become a third grader now. I want to grow. Now, growth in the spirit is so vital. It is vital, first of all, if you will avoid fleshly living. You see, someone that gets saved but never grows, never reads the Bible, never walks in the spirit, never becomes faithful, that person, their life is hardly distinguishable from someone that isn't saved. Because we must grow in our walk in the Spirit. Now let's look at Galatians for a moment, chapter 5 and verse 16. Galatians 5, 16, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then he goes on to list many of the sins of the flesh. Verse 17 says, the flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to another, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. Now, every one of you have a fleshly nature, a carnal nature. That nature has the ability to do everything mentioned in the Bible. You have the potential for adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness or wickedness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. Someone says, I'd never do some of that. But every man, woman, boy, and girl has the potential to live a very fleshly, ungodly lifestyle. And your flesh fights against the spirit. And God says, in my spirit, I can give you power to have victory over the flesh. Years ago, there was an Indian chief, and he would often call the warriors from his tribe around him, and they'd gather around in a circle, and then he'd put in the middle of this circle two dogs, and he'd have these dogs to fight against one another. And he would always tell the warriors which dog was going to win. And they thought he was such a wise man, and finally one man said to the chief, he said, how is it that you always know which dog is going to win? And the chief said, oh, it's very easy. It just depends on which one I feed the most before the fight. You say, how can I know whether I'll become a spiritual Christian or whether I'll be a fleshly Christian? It just depends on which one you feed the most before the fight. That's why Bible reading and prayer and Christian fellowship and an adult Bible class are so vital for you. Why? Because you are walking in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. But you show me a Christian that is intermittent in their church attendance and non-existent to Bible reading and just very, very shallow spiritually, but they're flipping on HBO and 17, 20 hours of TV a week and dirty jokes at work by the water fountain and all of this. What are they doing? They're feeding the flesh more. And so when a test comes for hatred or variance or emulation or adultery, they don't pass that test because they've been feeding the flesh rather than the Spirit of God. And so the Bible says it is vital for avoiding fleshly living that we would walk in the Spirit, that we would acknowledge the Spirit, that we'd say, Lord, lead me today. Lord, teach me today. Should I be upset about how the furniture's arranged? Should I be upset about who got a promotion? Lord, how big is that to you? And the Lord says, it's not big to me at all. And in the Spirit, you're able to take these little things, and instead of letting them get big, you just make them non-issues. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's helping you, and you're avoiding fleshly living. Oh, that we would recognize our necessity to depend on the Holy Spirit of God. And by the way, every one of us have that sin nature. Every one of us have that propensity towards self. I heard this past week, the reason that grandparents and grandchildren get along so well is that they have a common enemy. Well, I got to tell you something, friend. Our common enemy is the world, the flesh, and the devil. Every one of us must recognize the need to walk in the Spirit. Secondly, it is the evidence of salvation. Growing in the Spirit is vital if we will avoid fleshly living. And growing in the Spirit is vital because it is the evidence of salvation. Now, I'll not take the time, the text is before you here, but let's just begin in verse number 19 of Matthew chapter 7 for a moment. Matthew 7, 19, it says, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. You know, sometimes people say silly things. They say, I don't care what men think about me. Wait a minute, you should care. Your fruit should tell others that you're a Christian. Jesus said, by your fruit you're going to know them. The Bible says in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name we've cast out devils, and we went to TBN and watched Channel 40. No, it doesn't say that. But it says, in thy name we've cast out devils, and in thy name done wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now listen to me very carefully. The spiritual gifts, teaching, prophesying, all these types of things, those can be imitated by Satan. But spiritual fruit can only be produced by God. So there are going to be people at the great white throne judgment who can say, Lord, but I cast out devils in your name. Why? I was a member of First Church and I did all kinds of stuff. And the Lord's going to say, I never knew you. You see, we can fake a lot of things. But one thing we can't fake is what we're going to study these next several weeks. Real love, joy, peace. Those things cannot be faked. Those are produced only by the Holy Spirit of God. And so we see the necessity of walking in the Spirit. We cannot produce godliness. Only the Holy Spirit can produce His own nature through us. Now, growth in the Spirit is vital if we will avoid the flesh. It is also the evidence of our salvation. By your fruit, they will know you. And thirdly, it is produced as we walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we see first the gift of the Holy Spirit. Everyone at salvation receives this wonderful gift, the presence of God in their life. If you're truly saved, that's the gift you've received. Secondly, the growth in the Holy Spirit. As we walk in the Spirit, we are going to evidence that fruit in our life. Then notice thirdly, the goodness of the Holy Spirit. Oh, how good the Holy Spirit is. How we thank God that fruit grows where the stream flows. How I can say to you this morning, there's nothing good about Paul Chapel except Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit working in me. There's nothing good about us. It's all to the glory of God when anything good happens from our life or from our church. You see, the gifts of the Holy Spirit or the fruit of the Holy Spirit enables us to be a blessing and not a burden. How I thank God for His help in that way. Now let me say to you, the goodness of the Holy Spirit is seen in two ways. First of all, it is seen in His character that is produced in you. His character is produced in you. Spiritual fruit is always consistent with the producer. Spiritual fruit is always consistent with the producer. And fruit is the result on the outside of your life of what is really already on the inside of your life. So, if the Holy Spirit of God is indwelling your temple, and if you're yielding to that stream, then when you come against tough times, when someone wants to rearrange something in a way that you didn't want, you are going to have peace during that time. You are going to have contentment during that time. Why? Because you are walking in the Spirit of God, not in your flesh. You're not thinking about you. You're thinking about glorifying God. And when we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So fruit is the result on the outside of your life of that which is on the inside of your life. If on the inside the Holy Spirit is ruling and reigning, then you are going to exhibit outwardly love, joy, peace, etc., etc. And so it is the outward display of an inner relationship with the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 13:15 is a good example of this. It says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, listen, the fruit of our lips giving praise unto His name, or giving thanks unto His name. So the fruit of our lips giving thanks unto His name. Now then, we say, that guy just lost his job. That gal's husband just left her. But she's standing in the church house singing to the Lord, and there's a smile on his face. There's a smile on her face. What does that tell us? It tells us that God, the Holy Spirit, is giving her something on the inside. And the reason we know it's on the inside is because we see the fruit of praise coming forth from her lips, and we stand back and say, that's God working in that person's life. Because on their own, they could never do that. God is bringing about a fruit that psychology couldn't bring, that counseling couldn't bring, that liquor didn't bring, that drugs didn't bring. God's doing something that only He can do in their life. His character is produced in you, not because you study certain catechisms, not because you go to Sunday school, but because you are yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. Secondly, His character will be witnessed by those around you. It will be witnessed by those around you. Matthew 7:16, again, ye shall know them by their fruits. I think about that missions trip our kids took a few years ago to the Philippines. And here were all these teenagers from our church gathered in the hotel lobby of a hotel in Manila. And the hotel manager came up to Dr. Rasmussen and he said, are you people Christians? And Dr. Rasmussen said, yes. And he said, well, what's the difference between Christian and Catholic? That's like waving a red flag in front of a soul winner, isn't it? And after a while, Dr. Rasmussen led that man to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now think of this. Excuse me, are you people Christians? And I've thought of that many hundreds of times. I am convinced that many youth groups from America would have never had that question asked of them in the first place because their lives are indistinguishable from those who are unregenerate or without the Lord Jesus in their life. But the Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. I wonder, my friend, do people where you work know that you are a Christian? Do you handle things differently, or do you grumble and complain at the water cooler like every other person? Are you territorial and fighting for your turf like every other person? Or are you someone that's allowing God to make a difference in your life? I heard about a grandpa that had his little grandson crawl up into his lap recently. He said, "Grandpa, what year were you born?" And grandpa said, 1937. Grandson said, "Wow, if you were a baseball card, you'd be worth lots of money." You know, in life, sometimes people just get little digs in. Sometimes things are said and they're like, "Oh, that didn't feel so good." But listen, when the Holy Spirit of God is at work in your heart, there's still going to be a right response on your face and in your countenance. Oh, listen, there is nothing more attractive. Listen, nothing more attractive than a spiritual, fruit-bearing Christian. It's not about dress and styles and hairdos. I'll tell you what's attractive is the joy of the Lord on someone's life. Oh, there's something beautiful about that. You can take someone that has all the natural beauty, but if they're frumpy in their spirit and ticked off in their attitude, there's not a very good countenance there. Oh, what a tragedy that is. Back in June, our family was able to take some time of vacation. We went back to my grandparents' farm where I always went when I was a kid. I was excited to take the kids back there, and we were coming down that old dirt road in Colorado there, and I couldn't wait to get over the last hill and see my grandparents' farm, and we were going to go into the orchard there in front of the farm and just enjoy some of the fruit off the trees. But when we got there, I noticed instead of having a couple dozen trees, there were only two trees left. And the two trees that were left were just really sickly looking, and there was no fruit on them. And my uncle, who now lives in the house there, I went over to him. I said, "Man, what is wrong with the trees?" And he said, the last few years we've had the worst drought we've ever had here. And a lot of the farms have just dried up, and a lot of the trees just got so dry, and then beetles came in and kind of ate away at them. And he said, "Last year I just had to get out a chainsaw and take these trees down and use them for firewood." He said, "These two I thought would make it, but they're not going to make it either." I couldn't help but think of the power of the Holy Spirit in our life to provide the sustaining grace that we need. Christians every day are getting ticked off and bitter, and they're mad at each other. They're moving here, moving there. They're so excited to be Bible-believing, part of a great soul-winning church 1 year, and the next year they're as complacent as they possibly can be. What makes the difference? I want to tell you, my friend, who makes the difference is the Holy Spirit in you. Yielding to the Spirit. And some of you this year need to let God's Holy Spirit freshen you up and encourage you and get down deep into your root system so that once again there'll be the fruit of joy and the fruit of witnessing and the fruit of giving and the fruit of loving that only can be produced by the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said in John chapter 4 and verse 14, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life." And I got to tell you something. That well that you tasted from the day you were saved, it hasn't gone dry. That satisfying feeling that you knew the moment you trusted Jesus as your Savior, it's still there if you'll come to the well and drink this morning. Jesus will meet you there, and the Spirit of God will fill you up. I'm saying lift you up and bring a new song to your heart and into your life and give you soul-winning power so that you'll go out from this place a new Christian, on fire for God, knowing the Holy Spirit still alive, still real, and still working in my heart. Let me tell you something. There's no other way to live the Christian life. There's no one more discouraged today than a Christian walking in the flesh. And there's no one more joyous today than a Christian walking in the Spirit. Why don't you prepare the soil this week? Why don't you start saying, "Lord, I'm going to yield to you. I want you to have your way in my life," so that when we preach about love and joy, so that those things will flow naturally forth from a life yielded to the Spirit of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the wonderful way your Spirit works and changes us. And Lord, if there's anything good about us, we know it's because of your Spirit working. God, please continue that work in our lives and in our church, I pray.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell and teaching a series on today's edition of Daily in the Word entitled Fruit Grows Where the Stream Flows. Friend, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior and today's broadcast has prompted you to consider that decision, we would invite you right now in the privacy of your own heart to make a simple faith decision to believe and receive, to place your faith in Jesus Christ as your only Savior once and for all. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Friend, you could bow your head and heart right now and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your Savior. We would love to talk with you more about that and help you understand what it means to make that wonderful decision. I hope you'll call us. I'll give you that contact information in just a moment. Don't forget, we invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Online, you can see recent broadcasts and listen to the broadcast. You can also find out more about subscribing to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download this program free of charge to your computer, your iPhone, your iPod, or some other device, and take it with you and listen to it at your leisure on your own time. You can also refer this program to a friend. Perhaps you know somebody that lives in an area where this program is not aired. Anybody can go to dailyintheword.org and subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast. You'll find lots of other links there about Dr. Chappell and his ministry. The Rooted in Christ Daily Devotional can come every day free of charge to your email inbox and remind you to walk with God and get through His Word in a year. You'll find links to the online bookstore and Pastor Chappell's newest book entitled Stewarding Life. This beautiful hardback book will help you understand how to take the one lifetime that you've been given with limited resources and adjust them and live them out according to eternal priorities. Once again, the new book, Stewarding Life by Dr. Paul Chappell. You'll find all of this and more at dailyintheword.org. Also, if we can help you, please call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.